From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 86, Rob Parker.
Welcome into the podcast. We have a great show for you today. We're going to talk with former Major Leaguer Jerry Hairston Jr. He's going to clue us in about the Dodgers and their playoff hunt. Also from Houston, Sean Salisbury, one of the hottest sports talk show hosts in Houston, and he'll get us up to date on the Houston Astros and their quest to get to the World Series. Let's go.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball.
Number one.
The most shocking thing going on in the baseball playoffs is the play of Jose Altuve, the former MVP. Man, is he struggling. I mean, he's hitting home runs because he hit another one in game three. But he also made another error and now has three errors in the ALCS. And that error was a big one. It sparked a five-run sixth inning and helped the Rays to a victory and a commanding lead in that series. But Altuve's really struggling. He has, I don't know, they call it the yips. The thing where you basically can't throw the ball. We've seen people do it. Steve Sachs of the Dodgers did it. Chuck Knobloch did it with the Yankees, where you can't make that simple throw from second base no matter where you're going. This is unbelievable, to be honest, at how bad it is. And to see a player of his caliber who struggled during the regular season, we know the whole cheating scandal, whether or not this is has pressed him or put him in a different state of mind or whatever has happened. But he's struggling, and he had a chance in game three to kind of make up for some redemption in the ninth inning with two runners on, but he struck out on a check swing, and after the final out, he sat there alone at the end of the dugout on the bench with his chin resting on the railing, motionless, as everyone else cleared the field. So Jose Altuve is going through it, and it is not pretty to watch.
Number two.
The White Sox are looking for a new manager. In fact, there are a few teams looking for a new manager. Rick Renteria and the White Sox parted ways after they got knocked out of the playoffs, so that job is open. The Red Sox have an opening, and so do the Detroit Tigers. But there will not be an opening in the Bronx, because Yankee ownership has already said that Aaron Boone will return as Yankee skipper. The Yankees made it to the second round of the playoffs. Of course, lost a game five to the Tampa Bay Rays. People expected the Yankees to make it to the World Series with the team that they had. They got off to a great start. They swept the Indians. They won game one against the Rays, but then wind up losing the series. And so it's another year gone by. The Yankees haven't won the World Series since 2009. But Aaron Boone will be back at the helm.
Number three.
Billy Beane, yes, the architect of Moneyball, is leaving the Oakland A's after 30 years. And is at this time, did his vision or focus on baseball and analytics, did it work? Or did it fail? Was it good or was it bad? I'm voting for bad. It wasn't good. The A's only won two playoff series during his 30 years with the team. That's it. So it worked during the regular season. They were able to win some games, but they never won, Jack. Come on. And even that movie. How in the world could you make a movie featuring Billy Beane and they didn't even win the World Series at the end of the movie? The movie was about them winning 20 games in a row. Come on, man. So Billy Beane is leaving baseball and going to European soccer. All I can say is don't let the door hit you on the way out, Billy Beane. I'm sorry.
Number four.
How about this? Baseball injected into the Supreme Court confirmation hearings. That's right. Take a listen to Ben Sasse, the U.S. Senator from Nebraska, him roasting the Houston Astros.
I'd like to talk about the Houston Astros, who are miserable cheaters. Sorry, Cornyn and Cruz, but both of the Texas senators sit on this committee. But I think all baseball fans know that the Houston Astros cheat. They steal signs. They bang on cans. They've done a whole bunch of miserable things historically, and they deserve to be punished probably more than they have been.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, now let's welcome to the podcast. Jerry Hairston Jr., of course, played 16 years in the major leagues, won a World Series with the New York Yankees in 2009, and now is an analyst for Spectrum Sportsnet LA. Jerry, welcome to the podcast.
Anytime, Rob. How you doing?
Man, doing good. You know, October baseball is upon us, and baseball every night. Let's just jump into it with the Dodgers. How much did Clayton Kershaw being scratched hurt the Dodgers? And, you know, not only in Game 2, but in this playoff run?
Well, it certainly didn't help. You know, anytime you have your ace unable to go Game 2, especially the way he's been throwing the ball, it certainly didn't help. And honestly, Rob, the biggest thing for us has been our offense. You know, our offense the first two games of the series, yes, it woke up in the last inning, and we gave ourselves a chance to get back in the ball game, but we just couldn't push that final run to tie the game up in the ninth. Up until that inning, our offense has been non-existent. So I've been really more concerned about our offense, and I'm hoping that ninth inning will carry over to Game 3 and hopefully on to the rest of this series. We know how great our offense has been throughout the season, and if we're able to score runs, I don't care who we have on the mound, whether it's Kersh, Buehler, Urias, who's going in Game 3, we should put ourselves in position to win every ballgame.
You're right about that. Obviously, on paper, the Dodgers have the best team in baseball. I thought the Dodgers and Yankees were going to meet in the World Series. The Yankees have already gotten knocked out. The Dodgers are in a hole. The Atlanta pitching has like rewritten the playoff books, record books, as far as what they've been able to do. Yes, the Dodgers woke up, but Atlanta, I think something like Jerry had 60 of the 64 innings in which it pitched, had scoreless innings. Like, oh, teams have only scored four innings in 64 innings. That's incredible in Major League Baseball, isn't it?
It is incredible, but you know, I think they're taking advantage of the high swing and miss rate that a lot of major league hitters are at now. It's a strikeout league. You either get a walk, strikeout, or a home run. And they've taken advantage of that. You know, in Game 1, Max Fried, you tip your hat. He was dominant. Make no mistake about it. He made one mistake to Kiki Hernandez and he hit a home run with it. But other than that, you know, you can't really look at a situation where we should have got some runs here or there. In Game 2, you could. You know, the young man, Ian Anderson, he surrendered five walks. We had plenty of opportunities to push two, three, maybe four runs across. He wasn't overpowering. He had a pretty good changeup. But I really thought he was more geared, a better matchup for Dodger hitters than it showed. You know, I really thought the Dodgers would take it to him last night, but it just didn't happen. But Max Fried in Game 1, you tip your hat, you move on. But again, it didn't happen last time in Game 2. You got to, you know, move on and figure out a way to win Game 3. Game 3 is a must win.
Our guest is Jerry Hairston Jr., of course, the former major leaguer and current Dodger analyst on Spectrum Sportsnet LA. The other part of this is, and you know, when teams that have great offenses scuffle in the postseason, and there's a long history of that because pitching is just stops good hitting. It's part of the game, Jerry. But are there enough grinders in the lineup? Is it too many just big swingers? Sometimes you got to grind out at bats in the postseason. What is the Dodgers' issue?
You know what the issue is? And you're right. I would say that 95% of the time you got to grind out at bats, continue to work the pitcher getting tired. The Dodgers did that twice in Game 1 and Game 2. They ran the pitch count up the first couple of innings on those starters, but then they get too passive. You have to be aggressive in the strike zone. You get a pitch to hit, you know, especially with runners on base in the postseason. If you don't swing at it, that may be the last pitch you're going to see in that at-bat to do some damage with it. So you have to be very, precise as far as when to pick your spots on when I need to be aggressive and then when I need to work the count. I think the Dodgers hopefully found that out late in the game last night, and they will be more aggressive in the strike zone early in this ballgame.
Jerry, last thing, I mean, the series has a ways to go. It's not over by any stretch of the imagination. But can the Dodgers really afford not to make it to the World Series with this team?
No.
Last year was a shocker, and Washington wound up winning the World Series after they knocked off the Dodgers. But this would be, I think, with the addition of Mookie Betts, what happened during the regular season where they totally dominated – to not get to the World Series, this would be a bummer and a big-time fail.
Well, I'm going to speak on behalf of Justin Turner, Clayton Kershaw, Kenley Jansen, and really the rest of the guys. I mean, they say it all the time. Hey, we know we have a smaller window with this group. Obviously, Clayton Kershaw is not getting any younger. Kenley Jansen is not getting any younger. Justin Turner is a free agent after this year. So is Kiki Hernandez. So is Jock Peterson. A lot of these guys may not be back next year. So they feel this is the year they have to get it done. So if they feel this is the year you have to get it done, it would be devastating if they didn't win the World Series. Forget about getting to the World Series. You have to win the World Series right now with this group. That's how they feel, Rob.
No doubt. All right, his name, Jerry Harrison Jr. Jerry, man, thanks for the knowledge. I appreciate you. You know that.
Anytime, Rob.
It's time for the Pocket Protector Central. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What do you got for me, Anthony?
In last week's show, I wondered what it was going to take to be successful this postseason, small ball or long ball. And judging by the first 2 weeks worth of playoff games, the answer is quite clear. Now, through the games of Monday the 13th, teams to out-homer their opponents this postseason were a whopping 24-1. And it's not just the number of homers, it's the all-or-nothing style taken by so many teams that's driving them forward. In the last 90 years, there have been only 5 total postseasons where at least half of the runs scored came via the home run, and 2020 is fixing to set records. Through the first 2 weeks of playoff baseball, 52.3% of all runs scored have come via the long ball. Only one postseason in MLB history has seen a higher number, 1956, when 31 of the 58 runs scored by the Yankees and Brooklyn Dodgers, or 53.4%, came via the dinger. The Yankees, by the way, won that series in 7 games. Yogi Berra and Mickey Mantle each had 3 home runs on their own. Now, the Rays are the largest culprit so far, with nearly 80% of their runs being scored on the long ball, which, during the regular season, that number sat around 40% for Tampa. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, the Dodgers are under 10% of their runs scored via the home run in spacious Globe Life Field after their Game 1 loss to Atlanta, when during the regular season, they were second only to Cincinnati, sitting at a cool 51%. Now, small sample sizes are a wonderful thing, but one thing is very clear this postseason, clout is king.
And what that ball is.
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up?
Or is it fair? And now, here's ShadowLeague.com MLB insider, J.R. Gamble.
The Dodgers were looking like a team that was destined to finally get to the World Series, and Clayton Kershaw was pitching as good as he's ever had in the postseason, but a back injury has changed everything. Is it foul or fair to say that the Dodgers' hopes of getting back to the World Series are now in trouble without their ace, JR?
Fair.
It's a fair ball.
I thought that this was the year that the Dodgers finally got over the World Series hump. Third time is a charm. Isn't that what they say? Hey, they have the lineup with Mookie Betts, Bellinger, and those other big boppers, and Kershaw is pitching as well as he ever has in the postseason. But this kind of changes everything. Instead of being down 1-0, but knowing your ace is at his best, and ready to even up a seven-game series at 1-1, the Dodgers have to send the rookie to the mound in a crucial spot who should be pitching later in the series. Don't count on Kershaw's return because he's been struggling with back problems since 2016 when he had the herniated disc and also missed time the following two seasons. What a disaster and disappointment it would be for the Dodgers to lose the heart and soul of their team, especially at a time when the bullpen is failing. You have to ask yourself, is Dave Roberts jinxed? Is that stolen base against the Yankees and World Series with the Red Sox going to be his only taste of championship champagne? I do know that before the fifth inning homer for the Dodgers in a game 1-5-1 loss, Atlanta pitchers had hurled 23 scoreless innings. Over the last six playoff games, they have been 0.93 ERA. I believe that's the best since the Orioles in 83. Those big money bats have to get going for L.A. And Atlanta can mash, too. So I don't see any weaknesses in this Braves team right now. It's tough for the Dodgers to pull this out. And even if they do advance to the World Series, if Kershaw's not available, that could spell trouble.
Take out the papers in the trash.
Yeah. It's time for Trash Talk Twitter. Your chance to trash anyone or anything in Major League Baseball.
All right, this week's trash is from Dollar Bill on Instagram. Quote, I'm trashing Zach Greinke. What does he mean he likes pitching without the fans? The fans are the game. How in the world could you diss the fans like that? It's bad enough we can't come to the games, but now you're telling us you don't want us? Man, I gotta agree with Dollar Bill on that. The fans make baseball. If you want to be on Trash Talking, make sure you hit me up on my Twitter or my Instagram, at RobParkerFS1, and if you're the best trasher, you'll be on next week's podcast.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto. If I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
All right, let's welcome to the podcast Sean Salisbury, of course, former NFL quarterback and one of the hottest sports talk radio guys in Houston at Sports Talk 790. Sean, welcome to the podcast.
Rob, great to be on with you, buddy. Thank you.
No doubt. And the Houston Astros, America's most hated team, Sean, had got to the ALCS. They're in a big hole, but the biggest story probably out there is what's happened to Jose Altuve, and that's where we want to start. Sean, have you seen anything like this? They call it the yips, the thing where he cannot throw the ball. What's happened to Jose Altuve?
You know, listening to Dusty and being in Houston, that was a topic, you know, all day, all morning for hours on the show. And I think what happens is that when it comes from a guy who's been so highly revered in that city, in this city that I'm in Houston, and has really put up Hall of Fame numbers, it's you know, it's one of those, Rob, where it's like, well, the fans, and do we criticize him? And I've always said, listen, as much as we compliment players, they're not above criticism either, because this is not personal. The fact of the matter is that Jose Altuve is having a hard time throwing the ball to first and second base, yet the series before he was going fine. Now, there is the speculation and or the talk that he's a guy who is so good to his teammates, and this has been the talk in this city for a couple of months. He struggled at the plate during the regular season, Rob, and we've always been, you know him, he's always been a great hitter. But that he's been carrying this burden around, that, you know, through the cheating part and the stealing of signs, that everybody says, well, he didn't do it. Yet that he cares so much that it's worn on him all year. Now, whether people believe that or not, that's up to them. But that feeling that, well, it's wearing on him. He's mentally beat down and emotionally beat down, and it's affected him not only at the plate, but now that he's done this and that he wears that emotion, and it's hard for him to overcome. Now, I talked to the GM today, James Click, and he said, I don't know if that – he goes, I'm not sure that's the reason. He's pressing. He goes, the series before he played good second base for it. So – and when I asked if he, you know, like the consideration of would you put him at DH and move somebody else, Dusty's emphatically said no. And I get that part. You want to let veterans fight through it, but you also, there's the part of the respect factor. Even though winning games matters, I think he's been got so many skins in the game and on the wall as far as trophies and what he's done and that Lifetime Achievement Award, that I think that they would feel it would be disrespectful to him. Now, if he boots two more balls, then it's going to be a bad decision, or throws two away, should I say. But, yeah, it's been tough, and especially coming from a guy who's been so consistent his whole career. It looks like he's mentally tired after this season. It really does, Rob.
It does. Sean, what about the reaction from the fans in Houston? I mean, obviously they had a great World Series when they won in 2017, and people loved the whole thing on how this team was put together. They fell in love with the team. And then, you know, to just hear the way, you know, this whole scandal went down, or the talk of it, were people kind of indifferent about them making it this far, or were they embracing the team?
Well, this is a football state. People would be shocked to know that when you, for instance, we bring up Altuve's name today, and you can't keep people off the phones. I mean, this is a baseball town, and maybe it's because with Bill O'Brien, and now he's not here, but they haven't trusted the football team. They've trusted the baseball team, and now that they're winning, they feel like this is the franchise that gives them the best chance every year. Well, you know, after the scandal, they went through it in the offseason, and you know how it is. People get sensitive when you question, even when it was self-inflicted, and it was self-inflicted. And then when you go through all those emotions, well, every other team was doing it, or other teams were, and you go through the excuse-making, to the confidence, to the swagger, to the fighting back, all those things. Well, heading into this year, with COVID kicking in, and the Verlander then going, you know, not pitching, and Garrett Cole signing elsewhere and going through it, I think the expectations, while high, because there's a sense of swagger in this town, you'd feel like at times, and I mean this sincerely, that you were talking about a team like the Yankees, who's hung 27 banners.
Right.
After winning a World Series and three, now four straight American League Championship Series, there's a swagger in this town of a team that's like historic. That's how they think, and that's okay. These fans have been so long without they went after Bagwell and Biggio. They struggled with 100 loss seasons. So there's this feeling of pride, like, see, we told you so. And then this season comes up, and I've said it on my show, people said it, I didn't expect this. I didn't expect them to get this far. And I think for some fans, it's like that middle finger, like, see, well, we went farther than the Yankees, or we went farther. Nobody thought we'd be here. See, we're not just a trash can, you know, beating a trash can. We were good before it, and we're going to be good after it. So there's a sense of pride, a sense of insecurity, a sense of fight back, all those things that go with emotions, and I completely understand it. But I don't think many people, even some people within that organization, did not expect after COVID and injuries and the way they were struggling, swinging the bat, and the controversy coming out of it. Nobody expected them to get by Minnesota, let alone going to the A's, who won the division. Yet they still think they're the best team in the division, but they just thought they went through much. And I think right now there's a sense of pride that they've got to this point, even though they're down 0-3. And there's a sense there's some that still are semi-delusional, like we all are at times, about that they're going to win four straight. I guess it could happen. But this team takes a lot of pride in the Houston Astros, and they will fight back, because anytime, go on Twitter, you see it all the time, when you say something about the Astros, they will battle you senselessly. It doesn't matter what went on. So I give them a lot of credit for rallying behind their team. But there's a sense of sensitivity, should I say, about their team, and when you talk about their players, because they feel like, well, we don't get treated like the Dodgers or the Yankees or the Red Sox. And they feel in Houston like over the last 4 years they should, because of their performance, notwithstanding 2017. But I think they're proud of their team, and they still think they got a chance. But I think they also realize that reality's kicking in, and down 0-3 against the best team in baseball this year is a tough hill to climb.
All right. His name is Sean Salisbury. Sean, man, thank you for the insight. We appreciate it on the Astros and where they are. Thanks again, buddy.
I appreciate it. I guarantee you, if you ask them, Rob, they think they're coming back to win the World Series next year. That's the hardcore good fans here. I appreciate you, brother. Keep up the great work.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA, and it isn't even close.
Here's the latest reason why baseball is better than the NBA and the NFL. It's the fans. You know it's the fans. That's what makes baseball great. The fans showing up at the ballpark. I've always said this. You know, baseball attendance is incredible when you think about it. Baseball outdraws the NBA, the NFL, the NHL. I mean, the NBA, NHL, NFL, and Major League Soccer combined. Nearly 70 million fans buy tickets every year, and you know what? Major League Baseball opened its doors on Monday to the new ballpark in Arlington Globe Life Field, and fans were able to buy tickets, a limited capacity, 25%, but it was great to see people at the ballgame. And 17,000 showed up on Monday to see that first NLCS game against the Braves and the Dodgers. And it just added some life. Did you see those home runs going into the crowd and people there? Spread out, given room. But the atmosphere a little bit was back at the ballpark. The fans make the game. There's no doubt about it, and that's why we love going and spending our great summer and great weather out at the ballpark. It's the best quality time you can spend with friends is at a ballpark at a baseball game. In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.